This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Sunday, we learned that the kingdom of God is all about Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, so that God's enemies might be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. Also, just so we're all on the same page, when I talk about God's enemies, I don't mean some people out there. I mean you. I mean me. I mean all sinners, all descendants of Adam and Eve who have rebelled against God. We are, by nature, God's enemies. In fact, let me just read for you the last stanza of the hymn we just sung. It says, "I was so lost, I should have died." We need to remember that by nature, we are God's enemies. We should have died in hell for all eternity. But then the hymn goes on. "But you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God." And so once again, the kingdom of God is about Jesus coming into the world to save his enemies from themselves. And he did that by his own suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. Now, if you recall the end of last Sunday's reading, Jesus revealed his glory on the mountain of transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and they spoke about his departure. And by departure, they meant Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. Now, Peter, James, and John were on that mountain, and they witnessed the whole thing. In fact, if you recall, Peter wanted to stay on the mountain and bask in Jesus' glory. But then God the Father spoke from heaven, and he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Now, why did the Father need to tell Peter and the other apostles to listen to Jesus? Well, because they weren't listening to Jesus. The Father knew that Peter and the other apostles would be tempted to reject what Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus had clearly told them on numerous occasions that he was going to Jerusalem in order to suffer, die, and rise again. But the apostles did not like this. They didn't want Jesus to suffer and die. Instead, they wanted Jesus to ride into Jerusalem in a blaze of glory, wipe out the Romans, and give worthy Jews a prosperous nation of their own. That's the kind of Savior they wanted. Therefore, when Peter, James, and John were on the mountain of Transfiguration, and when they saw Jesus in all his divine glory, here's what they were probably thinking. They were probably thinking, "Now that's more like it. This is the kind of Jesus we want, radiating all his divine glory. No more talk now about suffering and crucifixion. Yeah, if Jesus goes into Jerusalem in this glorified state, the Romans will be scared to death and they will run away without a fight." That's probably what they were thinking. In fact, the Father knew they were thinking this way, and so he said, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And now we're ready to examine today's gospel reading, which begins with these words. "The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus." Did you hear that? You see, this is what I like about preaching a sermon series through a whole book of the Bible. You can see how it all connects. The events of today's gospel reading take place one day after the Mountain of Transfiguration event. Now, as the crowds gather around Jesus, a man comes up to him and begs Jesus to drive out the demon who had possessed his only son. The man also says that Jesus' disciples could not drive out the demon. Now that's very interesting. Once again, here's why it's good to preach through a whole book of the Bible so we can remember how it connects. Because if you recall my sermon from Sunday, September 30th, we learned from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, that Jesus gave his apostles authority over the demons. So if Jesus gave his apostles authority over the demons, why were they not able to drive the demon out of the boy in our gospel reading? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, Jesus answers that question when he looks at the crowd, and by the crowd, this also includes his disciples. And he says to them, "O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you?" Wow. Why is Jesus talking so harshly to them? Isn't this the same Jesus who showed compassion for these people by healing their sick, by raising their dead, by driving demons out of the possessed? Yes, this is the same Jesus. Well, if Jesus had compassion on them earlier, why is he now calling them an unbelieving and perverse generation? Why is he now asking how long he has to put up with them? Well, he's saying that because he loves them. He knows that they are not listening to him. He knows that they are hardening their hearts against the kind of Savior Jesus wants to be for them. And so out of love for them, he's rebuking them and letting them know that they're this close to losing out on his salvation. And this condemnation includes his own disciples, who were not able to drive out the demons because they no longer believed in Jesus. You see, the reason Jesus' disciples were not able to drive out the demon is that they weren't listening to him. They didn't want to hear any talk about Jesus going to the cross. And that's exactly what the devil was scared of. The devil knew why Jesus was going to Jerusalem. That's why all the way back in Luke's gospel, when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, the devil was trying to keep Jesus from going through with the Father's plan to die for us sinners, because that's how he knew he would save us. But now the devil is just laughing with glee. Why? Because Jesus' own disciples don't want him to go to the cross. And because Jesus' disciples are no longer listening to Jesus, they can no longer speak in his authority. And so they can't drive out the demon. They can't do anything important. Now, after Jesus rebukes his disciples and the crowd, he once again shows his compassion, and he once again proves that he's God by driving the demon out of the boy. And Luke then says that everybody marveled at Jesus. You see, they loved his miracles. They didn't like it when he said he was going to the cross to die for their sins. But oh, they loved his miracles. Sadly, they still didn't get it. Listen to what Jesus then says. After he drives out the demon, he looks at his disciples and he says, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man," referring to himself, "is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." You see, when they saw Jesus drive out the demon once again, oh, that's the kind of Savior we want. A Savior with power. He's going to go to Jerusalem and wipe out the Romans. But instead, Jesus talks about being betrayed. He's referring to the fact that his mission will lead him to the cross, where he will suffer and die to save us from our worst enemy, our own sin against God. On the mountain of Transfiguration, the Father said, "Listen to him." But the disciples do not listen to Jesus. Luke records their response to Jesus' words about the cross. Listen to what Luke says. "But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it." Now, the first question we might want to ask is, what part of Jesus' words did they not understand? Were Jesus' words not clear? When Jesus says, I need to go to Jerusalem, suffer, die, and rise again, what about that statement is unclear? Well, you see, it's not that they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. It's that they didn't understand why he wanted to do that. It was almost like they were saying, Jesus, yeah, we get it. We know you want to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die, but why? Why would you want to be that kind of Savior? We don't get it, Jesus. In other words, this is not about them being ignorant of the meaning of Jesus' words. This is about them being unwilling to accept what Jesus is clearly saying. In fact, that's why they didn't even want to ask him about it. Because they thought he'd probably start talking about the cross again. So let's not even bring it up. But you know, we often do the same thing, don't we? Many teachings of the Bible are very, very clear. We know what they mean, but we just don't accept them. We don't like to hear about our sins. We don't like to hear about changing the way we live. We don't like to hear about the fact that we deserve hell. But we need to hear that, or else the cross makes absolutely no sense. As I've pointed out in the past few sermons, even though God does care about our physical needs, remember our reading from Matthew? The Father says, hey, I know you need all these things. Even though God does care about our physical needs, he cares about our spiritual needs far more. You see, what we need more than anything is a repentant heart that grieves over our sin against God, like we heard in Psalm 51. What we need most of all is faith in Jesus, who didn't come to save us from the Romans, but who came to save us from ourselves by dying on the cross in our own place of damnation, that we might be forgiven. What we need most of all is faith in Jesus, who conquered death for us so that we can face death itself in the hope of the resurrection. I've mentioned before that all the healing miracles Jesus did, including raising the dead, they were by definition incomplete and temporary. All those people eventually grew old or got sick, and all of them died. The wages of sin is death. And so what we really need is hope in the face of death itself, because sooner or later, one way or another, that fate comes to all of us. We need hope in the face of death, and only Jesus' victorious resurrection can give us that. But just like those crowds in Jesus' day, and just like Jesus' own disciples, we are sometimes guilty of being an unbelieving and perverse generation. This happens when we focus only on the physical blessings that God can give us, while paying little or no attention to the sin in our lives and the forgiveness that Jesus alone can give us. This is especially true in America, where we're so used to having it so good, and we begin to think that the entire reason God exists is to give us our best life now, as though following Jesus is about having a happy life here. We forget that we're by nature God's enemies, and that the kingdom of God is about Jesus coming into the world to save his enemies. And he did that by dying on a cross. Now, once again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not teaching you that it's wrong for you to ask God to help you with your physical problems. I'm not saying that. Jesus himself taught us to pray for our daily bread. Even in our reading from Matthew, Jesus isn't saying that it's wrong to come to God to ask him for the basics of life, like food or clothing or shelter, which, by the way, most of us Americans never have to worry about anyway. What Jesus is condemning in our gospel reading is sinful worry, as though the only thing life is about is having the stuff of this world. Jesus says the pagans, the unbelievers, they run after all that. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need that stuff. He'll care for you as He sees best. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. In other words, what you need more than anything is to recognize your sin and the fact that Jesus loved you so much that He damned Himself instead of you. So yes, we can go to God with our earthly needs. I do. But what we need to understand is that today's gospel reading is God's loving call for us to repent of the times that we focus only on the physical blessings God can give us, while we ignore our many sins, along with the fact that Jesus allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross. And that takes us to my sermon title, which is in the form of a question. Why didn't Jesus save Himself? Think about it. Jesus calmed a raging storm. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He drove demons out of people. And those demons fled from Jesus in terror because they knew He was God. But this same Jesus allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross. Why? You know, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, many people were mocking Him while He was hanging there. In fact, I want you to listen to what some unbelievers said about Jesus when He was on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, we read, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at Jesus, and they said, 'He saved others. Let Him save Himself if He is the Christ of God, the Chosen One.'" They still didn't get it. Why didn't Jesus save Himself? Because He was saving you. He was saving me. He was saving the people who were mocking Him. He was saving all the enemies of God. We who deserve nothing but hell because of our many sins. That's why Jesus didn't save Himself. Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 9. What you need to understand now at this point in my sermon series on the Gospel of Luke is this. From this point on in Luke's Gospel, the disciples remain clueless about Jesus' mission. They will not fully understand until after Jesus' resurrection. But you know what? The reason Luke wrote his Gospel for Christians like you and me is so that we could read through the whole gospel and have 20/20 hindsight, so that we don't have to be clueless like the apostles were for so long. We can read through Luke's gospel and hear Jesus' words and by the Holy Spirit believe. We can listen to the Father who says, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to Him." Jesus says to us today, "Come to Me with your many sins and know that you are forgiven because I didn't save Myself. I didn't save Myself because I was saving you. I love you that much." Today, you get to come to this holy meal where Jesus says to you, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And then we get to leave this place. We get to leave this place knowing that God loves us and that He will provide for our physical needs as He sees best. And even when He does allow us to suffer, He will use that to bless us too. But far more important, we get to leave this place today knowing that our many sins are forgiven because Jesus didn't save Himself. My friends, this is the Jesus in whom we believe. This is the Jesus for whom we live. This is the Jesus we must proclaim to a world that desperately needs to trust in the Savior who didn't save himself. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.